Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's message is the gospel lesson, and especially I'd like to actually narrow it even more to the most forgotten verse in Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Thus far the text. I haven't lost my mind. I did say the most forgotten verse in Scripture. You're probably saying to yourself, is there any Bible verse more publicly known, even to non-Christians, than John 3:16? Anybody that's been to a sporting event has seen that guy with the giant sunglasses and the rainbow hair wig holding up the sign, John 3:16. It's known to everybody, right? But you heard me correctly. The most forgotten verse in Scripture. Well, I say that it is forgotten because even if the verse itself is well known, the primary thing it teaches about God is quite easily forgotten by us and the world. And the primary thing we need to know about God is this. God is a God of love who loved us eternally through Jesus Christ. If you forget everything else you ever learn in life, don't forget this one thing. God loves you in Jesus and loves you eternally. If everything else in your mind fades away, hold fast to that. After algebra equations have lost their meaning, which they seem to do very quickly, remember, God loves you. After world history dates are exactly that, history, remember, God loves you. After everything else you've learned has gone by, don't forget this. You are loved in Christ. Everything flows from it. Everything you know about God flows from this one fact. God loves you. Simple sermon, right? Yet this is so easily forgotten. Quite easy to forget that God loves us. When you're a teenager, there are moments when you are convinced and honestly believe that your parents' goal in life is to make your life miserable. I've got good news for you. It's only part of their goal. They actually love you. You probably can remember, even no matter how old you are, moments when you were a teenager when you thought your parents stayed up at night just dreaming about new ways to embarrass you tomorrow or new rules for you to follow the next day. My dad and I went through a terrible time when I was a teenager. I'm pretty sure it was his fault. There were years where we didn't speak to each other. Years when I was convinced he did things just to make me mad. I'm older now, and looking back, I realize an important thing, something I had forgotten. He loved me, and loves me. And everything he did was born out of that important thing. He loved me, driven by it. We forget that. It's easy to forget when our parents are acting upon us that they are really acting in love. So the curfew they place upon us isn't often, in the midst of it, seen by teenagers as a loving act of parents, but rather just another rule for us to follow. But we grow out of that thinking, and eventually we're able to look back and see that, you know what, my parents really were looking out for my best interest, and the rules they imposed were born out of love. As human beings, we never really completely grow up. We are in many ways, for our entire lives, spiritual teenagers. Those who tend to fall into this place where we forget that God loves us. In the midst of a bout with guilt, struggling over the fact that we have broken one of God's rules, we forget that those rules were put into place because God loves us. In the midst of financial crisis or uncertainty about our future, we forget God's love. We forget the God who promised to take care of us because he loves us. In the face of adversity or difficult life circumstance, we forget that God loves us and promises always to be with us. We forget the God who said, "Cast your cares upon me because I care for you." We forget. We spiritual teenagers are often so focused on what we think should happen, on what we believe is fair, we forget that God acts upon us out of love, out of Father's love. We have forgotten the most famous verse in Scripture. For God so loved the world It isn't that God loving the world is a new thing in Jesus, though in Jesus it is more immediate than in anywhere else. His love is given in a more demonstrable form in the cross and resurrection than in anywhere else. But God has always loved the world. The very act of God creating is an act of love. God creates because he loves. He wishes to love and creates that which he can love. Genesis tells us that God spoke the world into being. The actual Hebrew word there can be translated either spoke or sang. So there's a chance God sang the world into being. And that's kind of fun to think about too, huh? But the mere fact is God made the world, and he made it because he wished to love. So it is possible that God sang the world into being, but he sang it out of a heart that was loving. But it's different for you and I. While God instantaneously brings about most of creation, let there be a tree and there's a tree, let there be a river and there's a river, let there be a mountain and there's a mountain, it's different for human beings. Unlike all of the rest of creation, which is simply spoken into being, God sits down, and like a fine artist being very careful with this most important brushstroke, picks up clay and forms us into human beings. He makes us personally. And if that weren't enough, unlike the rest of creation where he just says, live, he actually breathes into us the breath of life. And the Hebrew word here is so important. It's ruach, because it's not just breath, but it's soul or spirit. He instills into us life. He breathes into us. We are God's greatest creation, his most personal creation, his greatest act of love in those 6 days. And it's no different for you. You are a personal creation of the love of God. Not just Adam and Eve way back then, but you sitting here in this pew are a personal creative act of the loving God. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He chose you to be who you are. He made you distinct from everybody sitting around you and from everybody else in the world. We sometimes joke about that, don't we? You know, when God made you, he broke the mold, and thank goodness. But the reality of it is, when God made you, he broke the mold because you were a personal, distinct, creative act of his love. Think about that. You are a personal, distinct, creative act of his love. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you. Yet it's easy to forget. The world helps us forget that. The cruelty of other people's words, other people's jokes about us can cause us to forget that we are a personal, creative act of a loving God. Remember back again to your teenage years. Remember how the words of your fellow teenagers hurt like well-sharpened spears. One word spoken from the loudest teenager in a quiet room can crush, can absolutely devastate. But remember what I told you before. We haven't grown up all that much. We're still spiritual teenagers. Words still crush even when we're adults, and sometimes we're the ones that are speaking them. Even as adults, and maybe even more so as adults, we are hurt by words spoken by and about us. We are hurt by the words we hear about us, and we are hurt by the words we speak. Sometimes the temptation to get the laugh is just too much, isn't it? And we speak. And we misspeak. In the middle of all those dodging of words and regretting what we have said, we forget the most important thing. For God so loved the world. We need to be reminded. You and I need to be reminded daily, again and again and again, you are a loving, personal, creative act of the loving God. God, in fact, loves you and said so by sending his son to the cross to die for your sins. You are loved by God. We need to be reminded. But our loving God, who sent his son to the cross to die for our sins, also is loving enough to give us reminders of his love. Things that maybe we forget, but I'd like to take just a couple of moments and remind you about now. God gives you reminders of his love. The first of those is the cross itself. Some of you are wearing them around your neck this morning. Maybe some of you men have one in your pocket. They remind you that God died in Jesus for you for your sins. That Jesus Christ actually died on the cross so that you could live eternally. And the cross you wear on your necklace, or the one that you carry in your pocket, is not so much a fashion statement as an eternal statement. What does God think of me? This is what God thinks of me. How much does God love me? He loves me this much. See it here hanging around my neck. The cross is a reminder of the foremost truth, for God so loved the world. The second reminder that God gives you of his love are his word and sacraments. Your baptism is not an event that you should see as something that happened to you in your past, but should be seen as an ongoing thing that continually brings you back to remember that God loves you. An event that is ongoing in your life, with every time the Trinity's name is spoken, you are reminded that a moment that your loving God reached down and made you his. Every time you come to this rail and receive the taste of this supper, you are reminded this is what God gives you in Christ. You are loved, you are forgiven. Every time the word is spoken from this altar, God whispers into your ears his words of love that you might remember. You are loved, you are forgiven, you are redeemed. Every sermon spoken from this pulpit, every word shared among us, God's loving words whispered to one another. You are loved, for God so loved the world. The last reminder I would give you of God's love that you should carry with you is the one sitting next to you in the pew, your brothers and sisters in Christ. God has called us into a being, a family of God, that we might not only celebrate his love, but share his love. Do you ever think about it? It didn't have to be this way. It really didn't. God could have set up a different system. God could have said, okay, I'm going to send Jesus to die on the cross, and he's going to rise and give them eternal life, and I'm going to handle that one-on-one. Now, aside from making God a very, very busy man, what else? Why else create congregation, Christian community? He could have done it personally and individually, this sharing of forgiveness and love with him. But he molds us into community. He creates community for purpose, that the love that we receive from him might be shared with one another. God creates us to be community, that we can speak and remind each other about Christ's love. The world treats it differently. Where the world would speak of grudges and bitterness, we Christian brothers and sisters can speak of love and forgiveness. We remind each other of those terribly forgotten verses that God so loved the world by forgiving and by being forgiven. We reach out with forgiveness and we receive forgiveness, and in that, we speak God's love. And we extend that love and forgiveness without demand and without expectation. We extend that love and forgiveness without demand and without expectation. We ask for it and we receive forgiveness. We give and bestow it as a means of celebrating the love of God, as a means of saying to one another, don't forget, God so loved the world, God so loved you. It seems almost silly to talk about John 3:16 as a forgotten verse. But prayerfully, through these reminders, it never will be. Prayerfully, you will always remember that your God is first and foremost a God of love. And every moment when you catch a glimpse of the cross, and every baby's cry from the baptism font, and every taste of the Lord's Supper, and every word that echoes from God's good book, and yes, in the voices of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we are reminded, for God so loved the world. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.